I like that little phrase in that song that said, God has been so good.
Amen.
Kind of reminded me of John chapter 3 and verse 16 where it said, for God so loved the world. God has, I'm a little bit full this morning, I apologize, but he's been so good to me. I'm sitting there while they were singing just thinking about how good God has been. And how little of his goodness I deserve. I've got a good wife and good children. They're all here this morning. Beautiful grandbabies. My oldest grandson's been saved. And well, I'm telling you, God's just been so, so good. Has God been so good to you? He has. If you didn't raise your hand, you're lying this morning. God's been good to you. Every one of us been blessed. We had 36 people. You can be turning to Isaiah chapter number 9. We had 36 people in our house on Thursday. And that was pretty much most of my family. I guess just about everybody was there. Huh? We were missing five. We had 36 people in the house. And I got looking around the room. And as far as I know, by their testimony, everybody in that house has trusted Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
Isn't that something? So I'm glad me and my church family is going to be together in heaven. But I'm glad me and my biological family is going to be together in heaven. Got so much to be thankful for this morning. I'm just grateful. I don't deserve not one of his blessings, not even a fraction of one of his blessings. But God has certainly been good. Isaiah chapter number 9, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
We're going to look at some prophecy this morning. You know what prophecy is? That means something that's being foretold. They're telling about something that's going to happen that hasn't happened yet. And Isaiah was a prophet. He foretold what God would do in the future. In Isaiah chapter number 9, I love this. I preach from it just about every year. And it just seems funny that every year God give me something a little bit different out of this same chapter. And he started breaking it off for me yesterday. And I thought, well, there's no way I can preach all that in one sermon. I could do it, but I don't know if you could endure it. Amen. I'm like the preacher said in camp meeting, y'all looking at me like, can he preach? And I'm looking at you like, can you take it? Amen. Praise the Lord. What else was it he said that was so wise? Gas is just too high to be driving to a dead church. I like that too. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 9. We're going to look at this beautiful passage of Scripture in verse number 6. The Bible said, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, say it with me, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Look at that. Look at those names again. It said his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm glad he said, for unto us a child is born.
Amen.
Unto us a child is born. That was his man side. That was his humanity. But he didn't just say, unto us a child is born. He went on to say, a son is given. That was his God side. The Bible said that he was God manifest in the flesh. You say, who is Jesus? Well, he's God. That's who he is. You say, well, wait a minute. Isn't there Jesus and God and then the Holy Spirit? There he is. And there's three of them, but there's one. That thing's kind of hard to wrap your head around, but that's how they are. They're three, but they're one. They're one in thought. They're one in mind. They're one in action. They are three. Hey, somebody said, no, they're really, really just one. Well, we find them showing up in the Bible, all three at the same time. Amen. Jesus is being baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove, and then there's a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So we have the Godhead. What Jesus did, and I may rattle on a little bit here for a second, what Jesus did, he became what we are. He became a man just like us. He was as much God as he was man. He was as much man as he was God. Now listen, he became what we are that we might become what he is. Let me say that again. He became what we are that we might become what he is. He left heaven. Hey, everybody loves the Christmas story. I love the Christmas story. You know they're trying to ban it? Let's just throw a tangent right here for a minute. They're trying to ban Christmas carols. Take them off the radio. Take them out of the schools. They've already took them out of the schools. They can sing Jingle Bells, but they can't sing Silent Night. They can sing about Rudolph, but they can't sing Away in a Manger. Anything that has to do with Jesus seems to bother this world, always has and always will. There must be something to it. I don't hear nobody complaining about Muhammad. I don't hear nobody protesting about Muhammad. I've never heard one time on the radio or on television where people are offended by Muhammad. But people have been offended by, you know why? Probably because there ain't nothing to it. Amen. I've never heard anybody, you could stand up in the Braves Stadium when they're playing, you know, 60,000 people there. You could stand up in their place and holler, Bob, and you might get two or three people turn and look at you. But if you jumped in that place and hollered, Jesus, everybody in the place turn and look at you. Because there's something to this name. And there's something to this man. And over the next couple of weeks, I just want to lift him up and brag on him. I figure during the Christmas season be the best time in the world just to brag on him. Amen. By the way, when he came into the world, they were bragging on him. When he went out of the world, they were bragging on him. And when he comes back to the world, we'll be bragging on him. Amen. I want to look at this first name that is given. The Bible just simply said his name shall be called, say it with me, Wonderful. Can I just tell you this morning, he's wonderful. Everything about Jesus is wonderful. There's not a bad thing about it. Pilate, his judge, looked at him and said, I find no fault in this man. No fault whatsoever. Hey, you do not know a person you can't find fault with. Amen. If somebody said, we're looking for the perfect church, don't join it, you'll ruin a good thing. Amen. There's no such thing as a perfect church. You know why? Because there's no such thing as perfect people. Every one of us have flaws. Every one of us have cracks in our character somewhere. I mean, just looking at you from the pulpit to the pew, I mean, man, you look like church this morning. You look like a saint of God. You got a King James Bible in your hand. You had a song book a while ago and you're singing the songs of Zion. And boy, we'd look at you and say, now boy, that looks like a Christian right there. I bet there's nothing wrong with that fella. Oh, but if we could lift up the rug a little bit and look under the scenes and behind the scenes and see what you really are. And if we really knew your thoughts and your mind this morning, we may not even want to sit in this building with you. Amen. And if you knew mine, you might not want to hear me preach this morning. Amen. You know why? Ain't none of us perfect. But Jesus was so wonderful, he was perfect. He was the only perfect thing that ever has been. Somebody said, did Jesus Christ sin? No, not one time, not ever. The only sin that he had was my sin and your sin that he bore in his body at Calvary when he paid the debt that you and I owe. Amen. I'm going to heaven because he was perfect. Amen. Let me say it again. I'm going to heaven because he was perfect. Listen, Jesus is wonderful, and he was wonderful in heaven. He was wonderful in heaven. He wasn't always on earth. Somebody said, how long has he been around? He just always has. He had no beginning. He'll have no end. Let me just say it. In eternity past, Jesus was with the Father. Eternity future, Jesus is with the Father. He was wonderful in heaven. You know who he is? He's God Almighty. He was wonderful in creation. I can just see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We find them all three in creation. When God said, let us make man in our image, a tripart being, body, soul, and spirit. And I can just see him in heaven. I mean, boy, he was wonderful in creation, in heaven. Man, have you ever driven around this country much? My wife and I were eating supper last night, and we were talking about how blessed we've been in our lifetime to see and do all the things we've seen and done. Amen. We went to Australia a few years ago and we took a boat ride out to the Great Barrier Reef. They say you can see that thing. I know you can. I saw a picture. You can see it from outer space. I mean, brother, that thing was amazing. We put on them snorkels and them anti with some jellyfish suits, some stinger suits. We put them things on them snorkels and we got out there and swam. I mean, brother, that can't evolve. That just can't come from an amoeba crawling out of a mud hole somewhere. We saw every color of the rainbow of fishes. I'm telling you, it was the most unreal thing in the world. And I was swimming through that water and I was looking at them fish, man. I seen a 600-pound mammoth grouper. That thing was big enough to eat me, and I swam the other way. But I was swimming through there. I seen all them bright yelling and black blue fish and big old starfish, and I thought, man, I know who made that. I know who spoke that into existence. Amen. Hey, he's like an artist, like old Da Vinci. I mean, I could see his signature on everything that he had touched. Only God could do that. Amen. Not no scientist in a laboratory somewhere, not some worker in a factory somewhere, but I'm talking about a God who sits in heaven, who spoke everything into existence. Every little fish, every little creature, those creatures in the depth of the sea that you can't see except with a microscope. God knows where they are, and God spoke them into existence. This summer, I was preaching in Dillon, Montana, and my wife got to go with me, and we did some driving around while we were there, and we drove down to see the Grand Teton Mountains. Anybody ever seen those? In real life, not on TV, but that's the most beautiful thing I've saw in my life. We were standing there and we were just in awe. I've seen those mountains in movies all my life, always dreamed about going there, and there we are standing at the foot of the Grand Teton Mountains. And I told my wife, I said, you know, it's amazing. She said, yes, it is. I said, you know what's most amazing? I said, it took billions and billions and billions of years, and it took earthquakes and floods and to create all that. She said, shut up, stupid. That's what scientists say. Floods do not create beauty. Has anybody seen any of the clips from the Philippines, from those hurricanes? Have you seen that? Did you see the video clips from the big tsunami that hit Japan? Have you seen all that? You know what floods leave? It leaves destruction. It leaves nothing beautiful is left from a flood. Nothing pretty is created by an earthquake. But brother, we're talking about utter beauty. Hey, that's created by the hand of a creator somewhere, and his name is God. He was wonderful in heaven where he was active. God has always been busy. I'm telling you, man, we stood there looking at that. This older couple came up. I've already told this to y'all, but I'm going to tell it again. This older couple, I got to talking to him because he had on a hat. And anytime I see a hat that says a veteran of any war, I go out of my way to speak to the gentleman and shake their hand and tell them how much I appreciate what they did for our country. And his hat said Vietnam veteran. And I went over and shook his hand. We got to talking to him, and I asked the lady, she's standing there with her mouth hanging open looking at those mountains. I said, ma'am, what do you think about that? Here's what she said. She put both thumbs up and she said, yay, God. I said, amen, sis. Amen. Yay, God. Hey, we look at this creation, and I thought about this. This creation is flawed. It has a curse. It has the curse of sin. And I thought about, boy, can you imagine what it looked like before we got a hold of it? Amen. You got out there at that Caribbean Sea, whatever they call it, Caribbean, Caribbean, according to where you're from. You go look at that water. We're flying in an airplane and about to land in Jamaica and looking out of the air. I mean, I'm talking, we're 15,000 feet in the air and we're flying over I don't know how many hundreds of feet deep of water, and from the plane in the air, you can see the bottom. How about that? Can you imagine it unpolluted? Do you know God created it perfect? Do you understand that? He created man and woman perfect. But sin entered into the world. Bible said, for whereby as one man sin entered into the world. Eve made a choice and Adam made a choice, and they chose to sin. Somebody asked me one time, said, if God made everything, why did he put that tree in the garden that they wasn't supposed to eat? I thought about that for a long time. And I thought, you know, there's only one reason God put that tree in that garden. He wanted man to choose to love him. He wanted man. God doesn't force himself on anybody, but he wants us to choose. Hey, I choose Jesus this morning. I don't know about you, but he was wonderful in heaven where he was active, where he created the heavens and the earth, flung the stars out into space. I always say that, but he actually didn't. He just spoke all that into existence. Now, that's pretty powerful, wouldn't you think? I mean, wouldn't that be amazing if I said, let there be a piano, boom, and there's a piano. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Everything he created, he spoke into existence, except one thing. The Bible said he formed man. The only thing God put his hands on in creation was you and I. He formed man out of the dust of the ground. And he didn't just touch him, he breathed on him. The Bible said he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. People ask me all the time, or little kids do, and I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings this morning, but Fifi ain't going to heaven. Somebody's mad already. And certainly no cat is going. Somebody help me right there. Listen. He created everything, right? Talk to me. He created the cows, the cattle, the beasts of the field, remember, the fowl of the air. He didn't breathe into any of their nostrils. That breath that he blew into man, and man became a living what? Soul. You and I have a soul. I didn't mean to get off right there, but I just want you to understand that. Amen? It's you and I he died for. Not a poodle, Miss Sheila. He didn't die from no poodle. She ain't even listening to me. She'd have been mad if she'd have heard it. Amen? He didn't die for no, and he sure didn't die for no chihuahua. Amen. He might have died for a good bird dog. No, I'm kidding. He did. He was wonderful in heaven. He was wonderful in heaven. Listen, but I'm glad he didn't stay there. Jesus was wonderful in Bethlehem where he arrived. He was wonderful in heaven where he was active, but he was wonderful in Bethlehem where he arrived. I believe Jesus literally left heaven, entered a virgin's womb. I got so mad the other day. And if I didn't love my TV so much, I love it too much, and so do you. Shake your little pointed head. If I didn't love that big flat screen TV so much, I'd have throwed something right through the middle of it. Go to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. I watch the History Channel and the RFD. Anybody know what RFD is? That's a Rural Farm and Development Channel. It's horse stuff and anyway, I watch that. And I watch the History Channel. I love the History Channel, but I disagree with them a whole lot of times, especially when they start talking about how things got to be here and how the Grand Canyon was made and all that stuff. And I just think you bunch of idiots. Jerry Clower said it best. Jerry Clower was a great philosopher. Somebody asked him what he did for a living one time. He said, I'm a professional liar. Amen. Here's what he said about them people. He said, they're educated beyond their intelligence. I think that about summed it up. He said they were educated beyond their intelligence. But I was watching the History Channel the other day, and the History Channel just did a series on the Bible. I thought, man, that might be good. Oh, and then I got to listening. I didn't even watch the show. I just watched the commercial and got some mad smokers coming out of my ears. They had some doctor, blah, 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 had all them alphabet before her name and after her name and didn't have sense enough to get out of a shower of rain. Yeah. This is what it said in the commercial. Some of you might have seen it. She said the word virgin, she said it's just a mistranslation. That's what she said. She said it's just a mistranslation. She said the people who wrote the gospel said four different people wrote the gospels and never actually met Jesus. I thought, what Bible are you reading? Where are you coming from, lady? You in outer space somewhere. I don't know why they don't ever put a real Bible believer on that show. Somebody who actually has credibility and can defend the book. You know why? They don't want truth. But Jesus was wonderful in his arrival. In John chapter number 1, let's look at it together. I told y'all to turn there and I didn't. John chapter number 1. Look at the very first verse in John chapter 1. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I like this. And the Word was God. You're holding in your hand Jesus on paper. Amen. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. I told you to turn to John chapter number 1, and that is where I wanted you to go.
No, it isn't. Luke chapter number 2. Let's back up. We'll get on the same page here in a minute. I apologize. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 7. Now we're on the right page. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 7. Y'all there? The Bible said, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Hey, Jesus was wonderful in heaven where he was active, but he was wonderful in Bethlehem where he arrived. Hey, the angels announced his coming. They went to the shepherds, you see, right after the verse we just read, and they said, hey, don't worry, guys, don't be afraid, but peace is here. There's peace on earth. They wasn't talking about no more war and no more fighting. They were talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is peace. Amen. Amen. Thank God the world. He said, I give you peace not like the world gives. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Thank God there is still peace on earth tonight. You know where it's at? Or this morning? It's in our hearts. He was wonderful in his arrival. You know what he did? He came just like the old prophet said he would. He came just like the old prophet said he would. Hey, there's too many things in this Bible that just line up. Too many things. 66 books written by, I forgot how many men. Almost that many. And everything fits like a glove. Over a period of hundreds of years, these men never met one another. Paul never met Isaiah. Luke never met Isaiah. But their stories go hand in glove. Somebody said, well, there's contradictions in the Bible. Show us one. The Bible does not contradict itself. You can twist it around and try to make it if you want to, but it doesn't contradict itself. Hey, he was born just like it said he would be from a virgin. Mary had never known a man. She was a spouse to Joseph. That means they were betrothed or engaged. They were to be married. And Joseph thought to put his wife away privately. In other words, let's conceal this matter and let's hide this matter. But thank God there was an announcement for Joseph too. He said, hey, don't worry about it. That which she's conceived is of God. Amen. I'm glad Jesus is virgin born. Somebody said, you really believe that? I believe it with every fiber of my being, every ounce of my being. I'm going to heaven because I believe it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. To believe on him means to believe he was active as in creation. To believe on him means that he was perfect in his arrival on earth. Amen. You say, I just don't see how that's possible. Man, the Bible says with God, all things are possible. God can do anything he wants. Amen. Let me say it again. God can do anything he wants. Amen. He was wonderful in heaven where he was active. He was wonderful in Bethlehem where he arrived. But I want you to notice that he also was wonderful on earth where he associated with men. Where he associated with men. You know what they called him? They called him a friend of publicans and sinners. Aren't you glad that Jesus will associate with sinners? Amen. Hey, I know these people in this room. These folks that you just will not associate with. Am I right about it? There's certain crowds you're just not going to hang out with. And by the way, me either. I'm not going to associate with a bunch of pedophiles. If there's a pedophile club out there, I ain't going to join it. Amen. There's just certain people. Hey, but aren't you glad Jesus will associate with men? You say, yeah, but some people ain't. Oh, they just about as sorry as you are. Just about as sorry as I am. You know what we were before we were saved? Sinners on our way to hell. Every one of us, just sinners on our way to hell. You know what we are after we're saved? Sinners on our way to heaven. Amen. We're just sinners saved by grace. I'm glad Jesus would associate with men. Those scribes and Pharisees, when they tried to find accusation against him, that's one of the accusations they made. They said, wait a minute, he's eating with publicans and sinners. He's eating with wicked men. I'm glad Jesus will still come in and sup with us, aren't you? Aren't you glad he'll come in and sit down in the pew by a wicked, vile sinner? I mean, somebody even save people who are still living wickedly, and God will meet with you, and God will commune with you, and he'll hear your prayer, and he'll speak to your heart if you'll listen to him this morning. He was wonderful. He was wonderful in heaven where he was active. He was wonderful in Bethlehem where he arrived. But he was wonderful on earth where he associated with men. I'm glad Jesus still. Have you ever been to church where you felt like everybody thought this better than you? I've been to churches. I preach all over this country. I've been to a couple of churches where I didn't feel like I was good enough to preach there. Oh, yeah. I was with the Rochesters back in January, and we were sitting in the pew together. And when I got there, Brother Scott had already warned me. He said, "This ain't going to be quite your style, but you're going to like it." I said, "You got me into this sucker." I walked in the door. Don't nobody get upset, but they had one of them glass pulpits. I don't like that. That just not me. You can't, there's nowhere to hide, amen. Somebody starts shooting, I at least got a place to duck, amen. They ain't nowhere to hide. And they had a glass pulpit. Strike number one. Then the choir came out, and they all had on beautiful maroon robes. Strike number two. Then they began to sing, and they were perfect. Perfect. No strike there. They were literally phenomenal. Best choir I've ever heard in my entire life. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir would go, "Ooh, that's good." Yeah, they were that good. And I told Brother Scott, I said, "What am I doing here?" He said, you just preach a paint off a wall, man." I said, "I ain't good enough to preach up there." You ever been in a church where you just felt like everybody was better than you, or at least thought they were? Amen. Hey, I'm glad Jesus comes to church and he'll associate with them people, amen, that ain't as good as everybody else. Hey, you know what? He's out yonder right now with them little old bus kids. Some of them ain't got a daddy. Some of them don't know who their daddy is. Some of them come out of a crack house this morning, got on a bus and rode to church. I'm glad Jesus will associate with them little nobodies that everybody else looks down their pointed noses at. I'm glad he is no respecter of persons this morning. I'm glad we serve a God who is wonderful in that he will associate with men. Does it ever amaze you that God has anything to do with you at all? Amen. You know you. You know, it just blows my mind. I look in the mirror one time, every now and then I think, I can't believe it. My biggest problem in this whole world is the man I shaved this morning. Amen. Can I get a witness right there? I mean, I'm not by myself, surely. If you figured out how to really control yourself, give me some help. Amen. Paul said, I know that it within me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Paul wrote 13 books of the Bible. And if he said that about himself, oh my, I got a ways to go. But Jesus still chooses to associate with me. You say, "Really?" Yeah, I talked to him this morning. I talked to him a while ago before I left my office. I said, "Lord God, I need your help. God, I don't want to stand up here by myself. I don't even want to direct this service by myself, because if I have anything to do with it, God, I'm going to mess it up. And if it's what I want to say comes out this morning, it'll be the wrong thing. But God, I need your help." And he just whispered in my ear and said, "Just let her rip, son. Just let her rip. Just open that Bible and lift me up and I'll do the dealing." Amen. I'm glad he associates with men. He was wonderful in heaven where he was active. He was wonderful in Bethlehem where he arrived. He was wonderful on earth where he associated with men. Now watch this. He was wonderful at Calvary where he atoned for our sins. He was wonderful at Calvary when he atoned for our sins. I'm glad the price wasn't partially made. The Bible said there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. He only had to die one time. He only had to shed his blood one time. In that Old Testament, Levi sang a song. I was listening to his CD yesterday in the truck, and that song, "Calvary Took Care of It All," isn't that the title of the song? It talks about that Old Testament, how every year they'd have to bring a lamb, and they'd bring that lamb. It had to be a lamb without spot, without blemish, and they'd bring that lamb to the priest, and that priest would go in and sacrifice. He'd slaughter that lamb, and he'd go into the Holy of Holies, that holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was, and he would sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat, and that blood would atone for man's sin for one
year. But you know what? Man kept sinning. So they had to kill another lamb. And then they had to kill another lamb. And then they had to kill another lamb. Oh, but one day coming down the road, honey, was the Lamb of God. And John said, take away the sin of the world. And he laid down his life one time. He was wonderful at Calvary where he atoned for our sin. He said, Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. In other words, I did it all. That cup that he did not want to take in the garden, I believe held my sin and your sin. He said, Father, be thy will, let this cup, I pray thee, pass from me. Hey, that cup, he drank it all. Down to the last drop. Not one sin went uncovered. Not one. What does that mean? That means that my sin and your sin and the entire world's sin has been atoned for, has been paid for. The price, the punishment has been met. The question is whether or not we've accepted it. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. My sin debt has been fully paid. He didn't just pay for the sins I have done, but he paid for the sins I am doing. And he paid for the sins I will do. I can't explain all that, but I believe it. By faith, I put my faith and my trust in what he did. Amen. Thank God he was wonderful at Calvary where he atoned for our sin. Wouldn't it be a shame? Wouldn't it be a shame if my wife bought me for Christmas a brand new Z71 at diamond white with that tan leather interior with the backup camera so I can see my horse trailer back there? Oh, you ain't writing down. You got it? Okay. Wouldn't it be a shame if she went to all that trouble and spent all that money and paid that great price for that vehicle and it just sat in the yard and I refused to drive it? That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? It's my truck. She paid the price for it. She sacrificed to get it. Oh yeah, it's pretty, but no thanks. I'm not ready for that just yet. That'd be borderline psychotic, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be crazy? You buy me that thing, I'm going to drive the tires off of it. Amen. I ain't like Brother Ray Price. You give me a 69 Camaro, it ain't getting hauled in no trailer. Brother, I'm burning rubber. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Ain't going to be no trailer queens around my house. We're going to drive them. Amen. Yeah. Somebody said, you'll hurt the value. Not to me. If I can't smell burnt rubber, they ain't no value. Amen. Wouldn't it be ridiculous to let that just sit there? It was intended for me. It was purchased with me in mind. And when Jesus went to Calvary, all those sins that he bore in his body was purchased with you in mind. He paid the price. It's paid for. All you got to do is say, yes, I'll take it. I'll take what? I'll take forgiveness. I'll take the atonement for my sin. I'll take the salvation. I choose heaven instead of hell. I choose Jesus Christ instead of Satan. It's been paid for. All you've got to do is accept what he's already done. That's salvation, friend. That Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, said, men and sirs, what must I do to be saved? Here's what he said. It's real complicated. You got to go to Bible college to understand it. You got to be able to read Hebrew and Greek. That's what some people have you believe. Oh, watch this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. How about that? Those children back there in children's church understand that. That's how simple the plan of salvation is. If we die and go to hell, we're without excuse. Jesus was wonderful in heaven where he was active. He was wonderful in Bethlehem where he arrived. He was wonderful on the earth where he associated with men. He was wonderful at Calvary where he atoned for our sins. But he was wonderful at the tomb where he arose from the dead. He was wonderful at the tomb where he arose from the dead. Ain't nobody else ever done that. Y'all understand that? The only other people that got up from being dead, he done it. Let me say it again. He was wonderful at the tomb where he arose. Mary came early. Mary came early. I love Christmas, but thank God there's an Easter afterward. Amen. I'm glad there was a birth. Thank God for the death. But if it stopped there, I'm still hellbound. But I'm glad 3 days after Calvary, he got up from the grave. He arose alive, alive. Let it be said, he'll be alive when the theologians are dead. Amen. He's alive. Mary got down there, and there's an angel. That angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead?
Yeah.
For he is not here.
Yeah.
He is risen.
Yeah, bro.
She turns to leave and sees the gardener.
Yeah.
And the gardener says, Mary,
yeah.
I ain't no gardener.
Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah, bro.
Don't touch me. I hadn't yet ascended.
Yeah.
I'll take care of that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But run to town. Tell my boys I'm alive. Shortly thereafter, he just appeared. Just appeared. Didn't come through the door, didn't knock, he just appeared where the disciples were gathered. They was all there but Thomas. They run and told Thomas, said, you ain't going to believe it, Thomas, he's alive. He said, I don't believe it, let's see him. I've got to see the wounds. I got to put my hand in his side. I got to see the real deal.
Amen.
So you know what he did? He came back again just for Thomas.
I
believe he made that second trip just for Thomas.
Amen.
And he made a trip this morning just for you.
Amen.
He walked up and he appeared in the middle of that bunch again, and Thomas was there this time. He said, come here, Tommy.
Yeah.
Come here, buddy.
Yeah.
Feel me.
Yeah.
Put your hand right here in this wound.
Amen.
It's me, Thomas. Aren't you glad he came where you were one day?
Yeah.
One night at a New Year's Eve party at my mother-in-law's house. I didn't invite him. I wasn't even looking for him.
Amen.
He just showed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
He just showed up.
Thank God.
He said, hey, Eddie, come here. Touch me, feel me.
Amen.
I'm real. I'm not just a sermon you heard about.
That's right,
I'm not just a Christmas carol.
Amen.
I'm not just a holiday in the spring. I'm real.
Amen.
Will you trust me?
Amen.
I said, yes, Lord, I will.
Amen.
I'm glad I serve a risen Savior.
Yes,
he was wonderful at the tomb where he arose. Let me give you this one. I'm done, Brother Todd, if y'all want to get us a song. He's wonderful, lastly, in heaven, where he sits in anticipation of bringing us home to be with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The Bible said there's a trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ, that's those we've planted over the years. That's those we've planted over the years. Miss Cindy, that's a brother. That's a mom and a dad and a husband. That's those we've planted that we love over the years, the dead in Christ.
Amen.
Now, that's just their body in the ground. We won't go into all that. The soul's with the Lord if they're saved.
Yeah.
Be absent from the body, be present with the Lord.
Amen.
He said the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we, that's us who are saved, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen,
when Jesus ascended into heaven, he just started floating up. And those disciples were standing there, as I would be too, with their mouths hanging open. And an angel said, hey guys, why stand you here looking up in amazement or gazing up in amazement? This same Jesus that you see taken away shall come again in like manner.
Amen.
In John chapter number 14, Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't know when Jesus is coming. There's a crowd that likes to predict it. But you know they've predicted it several times. And they ain't hit it yet. That one guy put them billboards all over America. He received several million dollars in donations to help get them billboards up. Jesus is coming. I forgot the date. He didn't show up. They would have sued him for false advertisement. I don't know when he's coming. But I do know this. Could be today. Somebody said, when all prophecies fulfilled, we're pretty well there. We're pretty well there. Well, what do you think's hindering the Lord from coming back? Might just be you getting saved. Might just be you. I've always said, I'd like to be the person who led that last soul to Christ. Get caught up in the rapture right after they pray. Get to heaven, I say, I caused all this. Amen. Seriously, He's wonderful this morning. He is a great Savior. Let's stand our feet all over the house. I'm going to ask you if you would, if we could just bow our heads together this morning. Nobody looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if there's somebody this morning just like to lift their hands. Say, preacher, I sure am thankful for my great Savior. I'm so glad that I know Christ as my Savior. Just shoot your hand up. Oh, that's about everybody here. Thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord. You can put them down. I wonder if there's somebody else that say, preacher, I'm sorry, but I couldn't raise my hand. I'm not 100% sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I just want to pray for you. You'd slip up your hand. Say, preacher, I need to know this wonderful Savior. Just slip up your hand. Just let us pray for you. Anybody? Boy, ain't nothing worth dying and going to hell for. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to any man, woman, boy, or girl. Please don't leave here today without knowing Him. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to You again this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, we thank You for Your word this morning. Thank You for the confidence, God, that You have put in our heart, that every word of it is so. Lord God, thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit that's already moved greatly in this service today as people come and shed tears on this altar and found help, God, that they so much were in need of. Thank You for that, God. Lord, thank You for the message this morning, Father. Thank You that You are a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And God, You saw every hand, You know every heart. Lord, please have Your way in this invitation. We'll thank You and we'll give You glory for all You do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.